Good afternoon, and we are so glad you're back with us. And we are here with my dear friends, Sandy. I am so sorry about last time.
Not
Tara
a problem.
Tara and Tanya, I should remember two T's, two S's, and myself.
Oh, look at that.
I'm going to do the little rhyming thing. Talking about collapsing walls. A little dysfunction there. But yeah, we are talking about all those things that, you know, the barriers that just keep us from getting where we want to be, and that's closer to our Heavenly Father. Mm. And so we're talking about walls specifically.
Yeah, and the walls we're of looking, Jericho.
Yeah, and I think we're in Isaiah 52.
We are, but Jericho's in Joshua 6, just in case
we
don't
confuse
anybody. But we are looking at a verse that supports this because we were examining the fact that as they were going in, they had to recognize that the battle was the Lord's. It's not their battle. And how sometimes we forget that, and we have to remember that. And that I want us to consider the fact that when Jericho realized what was going on and the Israelites were coming after them, they shut down tight. I mean, they went as tight could be. No one was allowed in and no one was allowed out. This city was a barricaded fortress. And we're looking at how in order to break through those kinds of situations, we have to understand that it's only by the Lord and only by the Lord's power and authority that we can break into it. And we went to Isaiah 52 and we started the process of examining in Isaiah 52 verses 11 through 12 how this specific verse supports what we're looking at in Joshua 6. And we began with what was the first thing that they were commanded to do in this verse? They were commanded, we ended it last time talking about it. What were they commanded to do?
Depart.
Depart from
evil.
What?
From evil.
Sin. From evil, sin. From anything that would hinder them or make them unclean. And that our responsibility when we're going into a battle is that we make sure that we have nothing in us that's unclean. Mm. And, wow.
Ouch is right. That's what I was thinking.
As Tanya was saying last time, it really makes you evaluate before you go. It's mm-hmm. like we can't go in spiritual pride. Mm-hmm. I've got God on my side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have to really do an examination of our heart and make sure that we're in the process of confessing our sin.
Mm-hmm. We're to use that flint knife.
Ouch,
Yeah. That's right.
A couple of months ago, you're right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just say, depart from it. He says, to not touch anything that's unclean, mm-hmm. in the way my translation, to touch mm-hmm. no unclean thing. So not only are we departing from it, but then we're making the choice to not even touch it again.
Mm. You know, the word that I see is pure. I mean, I love that word.
It's coming up. It says, come out, and what is it that it says then to do from it? And be
pure.
And so it's, we're walking away from it, we're choosing to not touch it, mm-hmm. and allowing the holiness of God to fill us up. And then this next sentence, it says, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. I chose this verse because it's talking about the carrying of the vessel. Mm-hmm. In Jericho, what were they carrying? They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they had to consecrate themselves, and they had to listen and obey, walk forward in obedience in the way that God told them to cross the river. And they're carrying the vessel that holds the presence of God. And I have likened that spiritually into our lives and how we are the portable sanctuary. And so thinking of that, you who carry the vessels of the Lord, believers, you are a portable sanctuary. Mm-hmm. We are to be pure. We're to remove ourselves from that which is unholy, that which is unclean, that which is not righteous, that which is not pure. And that can be tough because it can come in many modes. It can come in my flesh, my thoughts, and my thinking. Mm-hmm. It can come through the world and the things that I see. It can come through my actions, by what I do. It can come at me through attack, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, socially, through.
I just think the media, I mean, just the impact that the media can have on us personally. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if we're not just healthy mind, body, and soul,
It
keeps it apart.
This week, we were in a situation where we were meeting people and stuff and everything, and Kayla and I were sitting with some people we love, and some wordy dirts came out of the mouth.
Wordy dirts.
I like that.
I don't even use dirty words. That's kind of like my thing. I had a cousin that called them wordy dirts because she refused to cuss. And when God removed that sin from my life, because I used to be a foul-mouthed kid, I got to the point where I would never use dirty words. I'd call them wordy dirds. And a wordy dird was released from one of our peeps that we love that, you know, isn't necessarily in the same place we are spiritually. And Michaela's sitting with me. Her expression, red immediately. Like, you know, I mean, even though her mouth and her, she didn't do it, her eyes were like a shout, you know, like, yeah. I cannot believe I just heard that.
Yeah.
And a laugh, I'm in good enough relationship with this person. I went over and I put my hands over Michaela's ears and I'm like, uh-oh, and, you know, and made light of it and stuff and everything. But we have to make sure that we even reflect that we want to shun all kinds of evil.
Right.
And even though I handled it in a laughter jesting way, I communicated very clearly mm-hmm. in the situation. We don't need to be talking like that.
Right.
And, you know, and it wasn't condemning or anything. It was just how, you know, so that it could handle it. Because we have to be where we say, I'm not going to touch anything unclean. But yet we still have to be able to relate with people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, because we don't want to push them away.
Right.
Those are the very ones that we know need the Lord.
Exactly.
I had a similar situation with a soccer team that I coached where they do, some of them have foul mouths, but the one, and I'll just give them an alternative word to use so that we're not using, but this one gal was speaking the Lord's name in vain, and that one I couldn't contain, and I was like, and everybody was around, they were all stretching, so it's being firm, but being tactful also.
Yeah. And it's okay in that situation for us to say, please don't say that because mm-hmm. he is my Lord. Yep. And for me, that's very offensive.
Right. Yeah. And for them, it's usually the first time they've ever heard that.
Right.
So now you have to help them process through.
Right. Yep. So and that is making a disciple. That is mm-hmm. the process of discipling somebody, even though they don't even know that they're being discipled.
Right.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You know what, though? That is such a way of the world.
mm-hmm. It is.
Uh-huh. I mean, being in a public university, it's just astounding.
I know.
I'm like, culture shock.
Like, the Holy Spirit is just grieving. I know. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. That's tough.
And but, so, you know, I pray for those, you know.
Yeah.
And the only thing, I'm there for a purpose.
Totally.
So, I mean, it's like,
they don't know.
If you can handle it, you know.
You have to be the light where you're at.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's how you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you know, God may open the door where you can encourage them. You know what? Yep. I have found that people that use wordy dirds, you know, would be, they'd sound so much smarter if they had a better choice of a word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it really is that we just aren't choosing our words wisely.
It's back to a habit.
It is.
It's a habit.
Yeah.
And the cleansing.
A bad habit.
The cleansing. Mm-hmm. So to share that, it shows us how the unclean thing can come in any way. And that we're called to carry this vessel that God has given us. And they weren't called to go fast. He gave them marching orders. The orders were to march. And they were going, they had it before and after and the trumpet. But the people were called to be silent until it was time for them to speak. Mm-hmm. And this, I thought, was really rich. They were marching, which is their act of serving. And then when they're called to speak, which in this case it was a shout, he will tell them. And so we don't have to assume that we have to be always speaking. Sometimes we're just marching in formation, waiting for the moment when we're called to speak.
Mm.
And I love how that is rendered right here in this passage. And then as this passage in Isaiah 52 ends, it says, "For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard."
Mm-hmm.
He is telling them that in this battle, when they choose to go in holiness, repenting of any kind of evil that might be there, removing all evil, having the clean hands and the pure heart. God is before us and God is behind us. And then we know nothing can stand against us.
And he is for us.
Ah. Now.
Huge.
I like that song.
This is huge.
I do too. Now, I'm going to take it flip side. What if I choose then to allow myself to draw in and bring evil into the situation? Will I still have the promise that the Lord is before me and behind me?
I'm going to say no.
That's exactly right. But we always assume
that's
that
our free will. That, right. Yeah, we
of
get
course
in trouble
God's going to help me with this. He's God.
Yeah, no.
And the reality is if I am choosing the path of sin, that promise is not there. Mm-hmm. The promise is to the one who has clean hands and pure heart. And that is hard.
I think it's especially hard when the attack is directly on us or our spouse or
when
our
it's a
child.
Persecution,
you know,
persecution, it is. It is very tough.
But so important to be completely cleansed. And I think somebody shared something with me once, like, the enemy wants to divide, especially amongst believers, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so, okay, remembering that, and then just believing the best, because how quickly in that place our thoughts can go to the worst, right?
Yes.
Believing the best in the other until, you know, we can have a time of discussion, right? And prayerfully reconciliation, but right.
And my thing that has always helped me with that, so that I don't go after the person, because my flesh says go after the person,
for sure,
is in Ephesians, where it tells us in the armor, it says our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to repeat that in the last week or so in relation to the circumstance. And that it's not against flesh and blood. And so it helps me not to go after that individual, to remember that they are one of our POWs, is how I heard somebody, was it you, Shelley, that brought that up? I can't remember where I heard this recently.
So.
That prisoners of war, that we have to view pre-believers and believers that are acting in the flesh or in the world or from satanic influence, whichever it is. We have to view them as a POW. And if we have the mindset that they are a POW, we then change our thoughts towards them and how we will react. Because God wants all of us. He died for all of us.
Not
for a select few who are just perfect little Pamelas. it is for all of us. And that really changes our
perspective. And that puts us in a waiting mode, too, where we're silent.
Yeah.
When we can think of them and see them as the prisoner of war, we can silence ourselves.
And ask for God's
understanding
for in this situation.
And when you say
give
that,
us the words.
I have the visual of Jesus in Isaiah 53 that just follows this verse that says that, you know, they led him like a lamb to the slaughter and he did not say a word. He remained silent.
That's right, he didn't.
And so it enables us to see that and have that. So what I would like for us to do is to keep that in mind, that they had on the ark, they had it going before and behind. They went in obedience. They recognized it was the Lord's battle. They listened. They obeyed. They waited. Then they marched. And then they shouted. They had a sequence that they did. And so if I am willing to do the same thing, and before I go in and I interact and activate or whatever, before I get proactive, I need to pause and say, okay, God, this is your battle. I want to listen to you. Tell me what it is that my role is supposed to be. I will choose to obey you regardless of what it is, recognizing if I have sins I need to repent, or if it's something I need to say and ask for forgiveness, or, you know, if I need to speak a word in truth, no matter how hard it is, I will obey. Then we need to wait and not do it, not make the move until he tells us, and then march forward, which is the serving, the action of following through what he has given us. And then when he tells us to speak, we speak when he tells us. It is the perfect layout right here in Scripture from the Battle of Jericho of a battle plan strategy for us when we are working with one another.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It blows my mind away. I love the Word of God. And His Word is so consistent, we'll see it supported in other places. It's supported here with the Isaiah 52 passage. So with that said, we'll kind of go to, let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7. Tanya, if you'll read that one for us.
Okay.
And let's dialogue about how Paul was giving to Timothy a strategy. And let's see how this strategy supports what we've been talking about, okay?
Okay.
You got it?
Yep, and this is the New Living Translation, the NLT. So it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline."
Mm. Okay, good.
Mine says sound mind.
Sound mind, the last one.
Uh-huh. All right, and I think that's important that you brought up the sound mind. Mm. And we'll cover that next time. We won't have time on this time to do that, but there is something to look at that. Okay, first thing that he says is, I did not give you a spirit of what?
Fear.
Fear.
Fear. Oh. Mm-hmm.
But so many times we are fearful.
We are.
But we have to go forward in fear.
I know. Yeah. But there's a difference in those two definitions. We were having this discussion at the Open Door Mission this week on Monday, and I also had this discussion this weekend in Arkansas at a speaking engagement.
About fear.
Scripture is filled with the word fear.
Yeah.
And we have to know how that word is defined when we look at those passages, because how it's defined greatly changes the context. Mm. So is it saying phobia, fear, and I modeled, you know, like this, going, and I know you guys can hear and see what I've done. I've kind of covered my hands over my face, and I've got this great fear on my face versus, you know, where I've got my hands open. Phobia fear is the, the reverence fear is, and there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so we have to recognize which one it is that we're called to. Whenever it says the fear of the Lord is wisdom, it's reverence and awe. It's it's not... It's not scared of God. It is in awe of God. And he says, do not have a spirit of fear. We are not to have a spirit of phobia, fear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To fear man, to fear what can happen to us, to fear life circumstances, to fear people, whatever it is. He is not referring to reverence in this one. Do you see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
A fear is just a lack of faith.
Could be.
Yeah. It can be, yeah. Yeah. And it's also possibly out of ignorance, you know, showing that maybe we're still a spiritual infant and that we don't have a promise yet to hold on to. So it could be that we just haven't matured to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to go through and ask ourselves, okay, am I doing this out of the right motivation, a fear in reverence for God, or am I afraid of man?
Mm.
And I find I have to confess that one almost daily.
People-pleasing fear.
Yeah. God forgive us. Lord, we just want y'all to come back next week and listen, so as we break this down further. God bless.